Psalm chapter 16 is where we'll be beginning this morning. All right, Psalm chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this portion of Your Word. We thank You for the truth of Your closeness to us, Lord, that You desire to have what You desire to share of Yourself unto us, Lord. We just pray You would help us to become aware of Your presence each day, Lord, that we would seek to be in Your presence and enjoy the blessings that come from it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I think with all of us in some ways in our Christian life, what we tend to struggle the most with can be consistency. Some days we do very well, and then other days it just seems nothing goes right, that it just things fall apart, we just meet with failure and disappointment, that we go from the heights of victory to the valley of defeat. And we spend some time in despair, then we get encouraged. And then it happens again. We find that on a weekly basis that we can gather on the Word each Sunday and we can be blessed and encouraged, but then Monday morning comes and it just kind of, it goes downhill so quickly. And we can even think of it in our daily lives that we have our devotions in the morning, our time of prayer, our time of looking into God's Word, and we're excited, we're kind of ready to go for the day, but then it sort of seems that we wish we could stay in that place of devotion with the Lord, that we wouldn't have to get up and get into the world. I remember this one thing that I saw this one time, and it was this person said, "Well, Lord, I've done pretty good today. I haven't gotten mad at anyone or done anything, but now I'm going to have to get up, Lord, and I need Your help." And that's sometimes how it feels, that we have a closeness to God for a time, but then it goes away. And sometimes we find that when trials and challenges come, we feel alone, that we want to feel the presence of God, but it doesn't seem real to us, and He seems to be far away. He almost seems to be indifferent. And we see with the psalmist different times that he asks, "Well, Lord, where are You in the situation I am at?" And I think it's all of us. It's something that we want to have the presence of God in our lives and on our lives. We see in the last verse of Psalm 16 where it said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That we want to have fullness of joy with the Lord, and we want to have that, and we understand that it comes in His presence. And so we wonder, well, how can I have that? How can I stay in that? I can't just I can't go to church 24/7, even though I would like to, and I have to go through life. How do I get that strength? How do I get that joy? How do I know that God is with me and have the truth of His presence be clear to me? And so we want to understand, first of all, that even though we do not see the Lord, even though we do not sense Him, it doesn't mean that He's not there. We realize by faith as we study through the Word of God that God is a Spirit and that there is no place that really we can get away from His presence. If you turn with me to Psalm 139... Psalm 139, and beginning in verse 7, Psalm 139:7 reads, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." Now we understand that even if we wanted to get away from the Lord, and sadly sometimes we do, we find that we can't. That He is always present with us. That He is a spirit. He is not have to be in one place. And in our finite minds, we assume, well, he's way up in heaven and he's far away from us and he's not really interested in what's going on. But we see in Jeremiah 23 and verse 23, the Lord says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth?" And that's when we read that, we understand the immensity, the enormity of God, of how His Spirit fills heaven and earth. That Paul spoke of that in Acts chapter 17, that it says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. And that's the thought. We understand that if He fills heaven and earth, that it isn't something that He's far away, that we live and move and have our being within Him. That we understand that He is close. And we also see the promise throughout the Scriptures. We see it recorded in Hebrews 13, verse 5, how He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That as a Christian, we can be certain of that. We understand that the moment that we are saved, that He gives us of His Holy Spirit, that we're sealed unto the day of redemption, that God is with us and He's never departing from us. And we recognize as well that He is deeply interested in our life, that we realize that He is deeply interested in the life of every human upon this earth, that He cares for each person. He has compassion for them. He sees them struggling along. He sees these ones that don't know God, and He wants to help them. He hopes, and He draws them by His Holy Spirit and by His Word in the hopes that they will acknowledge His presence, that they would realize that He isn't their enemy. He isn't just a figment of their imagination or a crutch that someone has invented, but He is the one true God. He is there, that is close, and He's ready to help. And it's a sad thing that so many, when this God that loves them is so near unto them, that they don't even recognize His existence. But as a Christian, we realize that God is near unto us, that He is there to help us, and He wants to be minister to our needs. He wants to bless us in a closeness with Him. And as a Christian, as we recognize from the Scriptures the closeness of the Lord's presence, that He is always with us, He is always near to us, I believe it's a comfort to us if we're doing what's right. If we're being faithful, it's a blessing to know that He's with us. And of course, if we're doing wrong, it makes us uneasy, as it rightly should, that we realize that even though no man can see us, that we know, well, God's right there next to us. God's within us, that He's seeing everything that's going on. That we realize that we want to be faithful to Him in that sense. But not only do we want to have kind of this head knowledge that He is there, we want to know His presence. We want to have it manifested in our daily lives, because we know that it will help us to stay true. It will help us to stay consistent. And we realize that He is there ready to help us. As it speaks of in Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And that's what we realize, that even though we don't see Him sometimes, even though by our feeling we might think that He's not there, we realize that we don't live by our feelings, we live by faith, and we realize that He is there to help us. But it's something that we ask ourselves. We say, well, if God is so near to me every day, throughout every single portion of the day, why is it that He seems so far away? Why does He seem so distant? What's the problem? And it's something that we realize, that God is the one that's consistent. He doesn't change. He doesn't. He isn't fickle or anything like that. That He is the same, and He's always there with us. So we realize that if there is a distance that we feel, if He seems to be far away, we realize, well, He's not the one that's moved. It's us. That we realize that He wants to manifest Himself to us, but there may be things that we're doing that get in the way. And we want to understand that the manifestation of the presence of God in our lives hinges upon our fellowship with Him. And if we were to define fellowship, try to get an idea, a picture of what fellowship means, it's the idea that you have everybody in the same boat, rowing in the same direction. That's the thought that we can have, that we can be in the boat with the Lord, but we can be going in a completely opposite way of the way He wants us to head. And so even though we can be physically close to the Lord, we can be emotionally distant, that we can be spiritually distant from Him. And that's something we can think about day by day, that say if we're in the line at the store waiting to have our purchases rung through, that we can be quite close to the person in front of us physically, but we're not really necessarily close emotionally. We may not even know that person's name. They might be headed off to do their thing one way, and we will be doing something else going another way ourselves, that there isn't that closeness. That even in a family relationship, that you can have a husband and a wife, if there's something wrong between them, if there's a disagreement, even though they live in the same house, that there isn't that closeness, there isn't that enjoyment of their presence as it could be. And that's what the Lord wants us to have. He wants us to have that closeness, that fellowship with Him, that we're called into the fellowship of the Son of God, as it says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. And we see this also in 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with us, the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And it's that thought that when we are in His presence, there is fullness of joy. When we have fellowship with Him, that we have fullness of joy. And it is that understanding that we have, that if we're close to Him, if we're walking with Him, if we're following what He would have for us to do. We read in Amos chapter 3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the Lord wants us to walk with Him. And it reminds me kind of our situation so often is what I've seen sometimes with my own kids, that you go into a store with them and you're holding their hand and you're walking together and you're very close, but then something diverts their attention. They see a toy that they want to look at or something, and as the parents say, no, we need to go this way, but the child pulls and struggles and fights, and sometimes what happens is And I've had it with their own kids. Sometimes they pull so hard that they pull themselves away from me, but then they fall down and hurt themselves and cry. And then, of course, they think it's Dad's fault for being mean to them, when really what the problem is that they were fighting so much that they weren't realizing that they needed to follow the Lord. And it can be that way with us so often, that the Lord has a path for us in His wisdom and love. He wants us to follow with Him, that He wants to take us to new places, take us to places of blessing and fruitfulness. But yet we get diverted by kind of the shiny things of this world, that we want to follow after them. And so often we do that. We miss out on His fellowship. We miss out on the blessings that come from that. And we find, again, that we're out of His presence, and that things aren't going well for us as we would desire. And so we realize that we have to walk with Him. It says, 1 John 1 and verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And so that's what He wants for us, is to have that fellowship, that closeness. We see this also spoken of in John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 9, it says, John 15:9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And that's what He desires, that as we follow Him, as we love Him, as we keep His commandments, our joy would be full. That we would have that joy of His presence, that we would know that He's with us, that He would bless us, that we would feel His strength, that it isn't something that it just happens for just a small portion of the day or a small portion of the week, and then it's gone and we're kind of on our own, kind of flailing about by ourselves. But instead, that we, throughout the week, that day by day, that we enjoy this presence of God, this fellowship with Him, and it gives us the strength through each day to live lives that are pleasing to Him. And so we want to realize that if we want to be in the Lord's presence, if we want to have a fullness of joy in our lives, we want to have this fellowship with Him. That if we get the sense that we value His presence so much, we value His closeness and the joy that it provides, that we don't want to do anything that gets in the way of that. Just the same with a husband and wife, that if you have a love one to another, that you don't want to do things that would break that, that would cause harm to that. That the thought that if you know your spouse's pet peeves, that if you love them, that you don't try to irritate them, because you don't want to lose that closeness of a relationship. You want to have that joy together. And so there are some things that we realize that can crop up, and crop up so often in our Christian life, that it keeps us from experiencing a manifestation of the presence of God in our lives. And so we want to learn to value that closeness with Him so much that when these things crop up, that we say, no, I want to keep away from that, because this is too precious to me to give up. And I want to just see three things specifically, and there are probably many others, but we want to think of these. And one is having a closeness to worldliness and to sin. That it speaks in James chapter 4 that friendship with the world is enmity with God, and that we see in 2 Corinthians 6 how it speaks that there is not to be fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness. And just as we understand that you can't mix light and darkness, that you can't shine a light and try to mix the darkness in with the light, wherever there's the light, the darkness has to go away. That if we're close to the Lord, that there's things that we're going to see that the Lord says, well, this is something that's getting in the way. This is a closeness to something that doesn't agree with me. And if we love Him, that we learn to give up that up, that we draw nigh unto Him so that He might draw nigh unto us. That we don't hold on to these things, we let them go. We understand that it just as with a relationship between a husband and wife, that the spouse has a close relationship that they enjoy only with their spouse. That if their husband or their wife enjoys any of those things with someone else that is not part of that relationship, that spouse has a right to feel jealous. And it's the same with the Lord, that He is to us as a husband in that sense, that He is our God, that He alone is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our devotion. And there's some things that He rightly says, well, you have to choose between that and between me. That you need, if you love me, you need to give that up. And it's not that God is being cruel to us or taking away something that we need. We always realize that whatever we give up for the Lord, that He gives us something so much better. I remember a story of a young girl that she had got these plastic pearls in this dress-up kit, and she was so proud of them. She liked wearing them all the time, and her dad came to her and said, well, my daughter, do you love me? And she said, well, yes, I do, Daddy. Well, do you love me enough to give me your pearls? And she was like, oh, no, Daddy, I couldn't do that. I don't want to give up my pearls. I love them. And he said, fine. And he kept asking her. Every few nights, he'd ask her again and again. And then finally, when he asked her, well, will you give up your pearls? And she said, okay, Daddy, I love you enough. I'm going to give you my pearls. And so she gave him the plastic pearls that she loved so much. And out of his pocket, he pulled a string of real pearls that he wanted to share with her. And that's so often we realize that we think that the world has so much to offer us, but we realize that what God wants to give us is so much better. And so may we learn that when it comes to these things, when we realize as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us that there's things that we're too close to that keep us away from our devotion, from our fellowship to God, that we lay them aside so that we can enjoy His presence and have fullness of joy. We think of a second thing that can keep us from fellowship with the Lord, and that can be self-sufficiency. We see this in Revelation chapter 3. And this is the passage that speaks of the church of Laodicea. And we read in Revelation 3 and verse 20, where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That we find with this church, this place that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ should have been the very center of everything that they did, that the Lord Jesus was on the outside knocking and asking to come in to have fellowship with them. And we see, well, how did this happen? How did they get to this point? We see that they had become cold, and we see in verse 17 that it says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And it was the thought that the Laodicean church had, that they figured that they didn't need anything. They were self-sufficient, that they could make it through life just fine. And so often that's what happens in our Christian life, that the Lord blesses us, He gives us a victory in our lives, and then for whatever reason we say, well, Lord, okay, you helped me through that one, I can handle a couple on my own for a while. And we try that, and we struggle, and we have to come to the realization, as Jesus said in John 15, that without me, you can do nothing, that we need Him. That He is there, that He knows our needs before we ask them. He knows our needs before we're willing to admit them. And He wants to help us. And so it's a necessity that we learn to have that closeness of fellowship with Him. That just as with a child, that sometimes you want to teach them something, you want to help them through, and the child says, no, I can do it myself. And they do it themselves, and of course it doesn't go very well. And yet if they learn, okay, well, I'll sit on Daddy's lap, I'll have him help me, I'll have him show me how to do it, and then I can learn to do it properly. That as we learn not to have a sufficiency in ourselves, but have our sufficiency be of God, that we seek Him because we know that we need His help throughout the day. That we're praying to Him, that we're asking Him for wisdom, for guidance, for strength. That we have that relationship with Him. That we do that, and that gives us that, continues that fellowship with Him. It gives us the strength that we see the presence of God, and we have joy in our lives because we instead of struggling and stumbling and having all this fight on our hands, that we have the Lord help us through it, and it goes so much better when we do. And then finally, I think something that keeps us from fellowship with the Lord, that keeps us from enjoying His presence, is the busyness of our lives. That sometimes things get so hectic that we miss out on what's really important. And that can happen so often, that there's so much to do that we neglect our time with the Lord, or that we make it just a small part of our life, and then we don't even really have time to think of it for the rest of the day. That we want to realize that we need to spend time with the Lord, that we are busy with many things, and they may be very good things, but if they get in the way of our relationship with the Lord, they need to be changed. We think of the story of Mary and Martha, of how Mary was at the feet of Jesus and Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And Jesus spoke to her and said that she was careful and troubled about many things, but Mary had chosen this good thing that shall not be taken from her. And that's sometimes what we need to do, is clear our schedule or schedule the Lord in or something, where we make sure that He's part of our day, that we don't allow Him to be crowded out, that we realize how important He is. I remember the testimony of Martin Luther, that he once said that he had so much to do in a day that he couldn't get it done unless he spent the first 3 hours in prayer. And we can imagine, well, who could have time to do that? But the fact is, if he prayed that long, then it made everything else go so much better. And I think that's something that we can certainly learn from. I know I was listening to a message by Brother Webster, and some he said that so often what our failures are in the Christian life begin as prayer failures. That when we don't pray as we ought to, we don't focus on that, we don't get the right mindset from the beginning, we don't enter into fellowship with the Lord as we should, and then we go out in the day and we're not prepared, and it falls apart, and we get discouraged once more. That even though there is much to do, we do not allow the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choke out the Word and make us unfruitful. That we don't even give a thought to what we shall eat or what we shall put on or what we shall drink. We know that the Lord's going to take care of us. But that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. That we realize with all these things that they can get in the way so easily. And as we evaluate our lives, as we see, well, how do I get from being in a place where I'm so pumped up at the beginning of the day, and then within, it seems, even an hour, things have just gone in the tank, that we examine, well, where did I get off track? How did I lose this closeness? And we take the time that we see, okay, this is where I've gone off, I need to get back on track, that we restore that fellowship. If we lose that closeness, that we take time out of our day to get it back, that we make sure we have that closeness to us, that the Lord wants to have us experience the fullness of His joy. He wants us to enjoy His presence. And so to do that we must seek Him. We must draw near unto Him. We realize that He's not far away. He's not playing hide and seek with us. He's not messing with our minds. He is there, and He is just waiting for us to sometimes stop being stubborn as we so often are, and to put our hand in His, to to walk with Him and to follow Him and to be guided by Him. And we will see as we do that, that our joy will be so much more, that there will be such a greater fruitfulness to our lives, that the Lord will guide us to do things that we never thought possible, that sometimes that we, as we're close to Him, that the Lord can speak to us and say, well, I want you to go and talk to that person over there. I've been working in their heart and I want you to share the gospel with them. That as we're close to Him, He can show those things to us. He can speak to us in that way. And it is such a blessing to have that fellowship. And it is there and the Lord wants us to have it. And it's up to us. That He's not the one that moves away. It's when we, for whatever reason, we get busy or we get distracted and we lose hold of Him. And so may the Lord help us that we would stay close to Him, that we would enjoy His presence, and that we would value it more than any other thing in this life, so that we would be strengthened throughout our days to live faithfully for Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your blessings and for Your closeness to us, Lord. We thank You for Your great salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ, that has purchased this cleansing of our sins so that we can have a relationship with You, Lord, and fellowship with You. And we just pray, Lord, You would help us to value Your presence, to remain within it, recognize that we don't have to leave You, Lord, that we can take You with us no matter where we go, and that You can walk with us throughout all of it, Lord. Just pray You would bless us, Lord. Bless Your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand and we'll turn in our hymnals to one more song, number 297. And we'll sing Close to Thee, hymn 297.